Well, guys, as always, it's a blessing to be here. Super excited just to talk about God's Word. We have some guys in the back with Bibles. If you need one, just raise your hand. They can come get you one. And then please open your copy of God's Word to Matthew 7, and we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. And as you guys are turning there, just want to talk about that I love building stuff. Before coming here, coming to seminary and being in junior high, that my job was to do construction. And so my favorite days were when I got to go to the job site and build something, whether that was building a fence, pouring concrete, painting. Like, I love just doing stuff with my hands. And Katie and I were talking a couple months ago, and we love having people over at our house, and so we needed a big table for our backyard. And Katie gave me some photos, just rough sizes, and I said, I think I can make that. So took out some paper, I made some plans, I drew out what the table would look like, went to Home Depot and bought all the wood, bought the screws, paintbrushes, tools, and started putting the table together. And then part of that is you have to cut the wood so it's the right size. So I was using a big saw, and I was cutting the wood, and as I was doing that, it kicks up a bunch of sawdust or just specks of little, like, really, really small pieces of wood, and one of those got into my eye. And I don't know if you've ever had something in your eye, but everything stopped. Like, standing there, and you kind of squint kind of weird. You start blinking. You start moving your eye everywhere. Your eye waters. And even though there's so much of your eye, and that just little thing makes it so that you can't see. And it's really, really annoying. And that was with the smallest little piece of wood. If you guys have ever had something stuck in your eye, like, you probably know that feeling. Just it doesn't matter what you're doing. Everything stops until I get this speck out of my eye. But I also had bought 12 foot long pieces of wood. Could you imagine if I just didn't have a little speck of wood in my eye, but I had an entire log in my eye? Like, could you imagine how uncomfortable that would be? You couldn't see anything. You couldn't move your eyes. You wouldn't be able to pick your head up. It would be so heavy. Just if a little speck is that annoying, like, how much more annoying would having an entire log in your eye be? I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty careful about what goes in my eyes or who gets to touch my eyes. Could you imagine if you had a speck in your eye and someone came over and they were trying to get it out for you, and midway through you realized that they also had a speck in their eye? You would say, no, like, you need to go take out what's in your eye before you start coming to me. Could you imagine then if you had a speck in your eye and someone walks over with a whole log in their eye and they say, I want to get that speck out of your eye while I have this log in my own eye? You would probably run the other way while crying because you have something in your eye that's really irritating. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. And just as Jesus is giving the Lord's Prayer, we see that he uses that just to teach his disciples a lot of important things. Jesus told his disciples that he wanted them to pray honestly, not use a formula. Just, what are you thinking? What is important? Come say that to God. He wanted them to know that he loved them so much, he was caring for them before they even asked for help. He wanted them to love and worship him for who he is. Jesus wanted them and wanted them to want everyone around them to be saved more than any good thing in their life. He wanted them to desire that his kingdom would come. Jesus wants us to see that he gives us everything that we need for godly living. He needs us everything that we need to live our life for him. He wants us to see that we've been forgiven our sin against him, and because we've been forgiven, we should then go and forgive other people. And then he also taught us that he's going to use the hardest things in our life for our good, that he's never going to leave us, he's never going to abandon us. He's always going to use even the hardest things in our life for our good. But a great teacher doesn't just tell you what to do. They show you what it looks like by giving you examples. In the same way, I could tell you what it's like to go make a table in your backyard, or I could bring you and I could show you what it actually is to go make that table. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus as he takes things that he has explained in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and he's going to give examples of that in Matthew chapter 7. And with the purpose of showing them that right relationships between God and man are really important. Our big idea today is that we are called to right relationships with God and man. Our big idea today is that we are called to right relationships with God and man. But relationships just aren't what we know. It's also how we act. Jesus wants you to know truth and be able to live it out every day with people around you. If you don't know Jesus, you can't do what's right. But if you know Jesus, that will be shown in your relationships with others. That if you're here and you claim to be a believer, that's going to be shown by you continually loving Jesus and you continually loving those in your life with people you have relationships with. Let's see what examples Jesus gives of having right relationships with God and others in our text today. We'll start in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take out the log that is in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, in all things, whatever you want people to do for you, so do for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much that we can come here and study your word and spend time with each other having fun. I pray today that you would just help us, you would open our eyes, we would see in what ways that we judge, that we would learn just to ask you for help, Father, and that we would just follow the golden rule, that we would treat others how we want to be treated, and that we would love you and have right relationships. In your name, amen. We'll start out in verses 1 through 6. Our first point is God wants us to judge by his standard. In verses 1 through 6, we have God wants us to judge by his standard. And let's talk a little bit about the word judge. The word judge or a similar word is used 8 times here in the first 2 verses. So this section is all about judging. I love that Pastor Jay said so many times, what God repeats is what he wants us to pay attention to. And I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2 and just see all the times that judging is mentioned. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. God talks about judging 8 separate times here in 2 verses. We may think that judging is to be mean to someone. You might come into this thinking that. If you get in a lot of trouble as an adult, you go and stand before a judge, and he judges you. And verse 1 literally says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. How should I think about judging? But to judge simply means to say something is right or wrong. If you're taking notes, I think that's something really helpful to write down. To judge is just simply to say that something is right or wrong. If I tell you right now I'm wearing a pink suit, you would judge me and say, that's not right, Adam, and you would be correct in that. But if I said I'm wearing a pink tie, you could then judge me and say, that's correct, Adam, I agree with that. If I say, hey, we are currently a Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, California, you would say, that is a correct statement. And by doing that, you're making a judgment. When someone says you shouldn't judge others, they are actually making a judgment because they're telling someone what is right or wrong. That every time we say something is right or wrong, you are judging. It's impossible to go through life without saying something is right or wrong. God wants us to know what is true, and he wants us to live according to it. But does Jesus want me to judge myself and others? What should I think about judging myself and others? And the short answer is yes. God wants me to judge myself and others, but he wants me to judge by his standard, not my own. He wants me to speak and live what he says is true, not what I want. He wants me to obey him as the ultimate judge and not try to make people obey me as judge in their life. That's a really simple point, but I want you guys to think about that a little bit. It is good to judge. It is good to say something is right or wrong, but God doesn't want us to think that we are the ultimate determiner of what is right or wrong. He wants us to come to him and acknowledge that he tells us what is right and he tells us what is wrong. In your life, are you judging by your standard or God's standard? When you spend time with people, are you more worried about what God says is true, or are you more worried about what you want? Are you more worried about, hey, I want to be cool. Hey, I want to have friends. Hey, I want to have this job. Hey, I want to play this sport. Or are you worried about what God says is eternally true? God cares so much about judging that he spoke a lot about it in the Old Testament. We won't look up everything right now, but there's one verse in Deuteronomy I think is really helpful. Deuteronomy 1:17, God tells Israel, "You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear men, for judgment is God's." So did God want Israel to judge? Yes, like he told them to judge, but he wanted them to judge fairly. He didn't want them to bend the rules for their favorite person or someone famous. He wanted his standard to be the standard every man was judged by. And he wanted them to judge. He wanted them to say what was right and wrong without fear. He didn't want Israel to be afraid of proclaiming what is right because he is the ultimate judge that would protect. He even says that, "You shall not be afraid, you shall not fear, because judgment is mine." He is the one who determines what is right and wrong. And the goal in judging is God's standard. And a lot of the problems we have in life are when we try to take our standard with what I want and I make that what everyone else has to live by. Coming back to Matthew chapter 7, just take a quick look at Matthew 7, verse 2. It says, "For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. My heart wants to receive all of God's graces, but wants other people to be punished every single time they sin." We talked about this in the last couple of weeks as we discussed forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is repeating and he's giving an example of that to his disciples here. If you understand how much grace God has given you, if you understand how many times he's been kind to you, you will give grace and forgiveness to others. If you refuse to give grace to others, it shows that you haven't been saved and God will not give eternal grace to you. Jesus has already told us this in Matthew 6. He just repeated it in verse 2, and then he's going to give us a picture of that in verses 3 through 5. Remember, guys, what Jesus repeats is important. He's talked about the word judge 8 times here. In just the past couple chapters, he said this 3 times in a row. Jesus wants us to know how we should judge. Jesus wants us to see that we need to judge our own hearts before we judge others. I think that's a really helpful point, that Jesus wants us to judge our hearts before we focus on judging others. We find it so easy to take the smallest mistake or speck in other people, but we overlook massive sins or the logs in our own lives. Jesus wants us to first take a hard look at our own life. What does that look like for us? I think there's some good questions. Like, in your family, do you skip Bible reading, but then go and tell your parents when your siblings haven't read their Bible? Do you skip prayer time? Do you skip cleaning your room? Do you not do your homework? Do you just forget or say you're not going to love others? Do you use bad language? Are you mean to others? Do you disobey your parents and your teachers? But the second someone else does that, oh, you're going to go find your teacher or your parents. If you're doing that, you're focused on the speck in someone else's eye and not the log in your own eye. And what does Jesus call someone who does that? If we look at verse 5, it's really clear. "You hypocrite," he he calls people that do that a hypocrite, which that's not a nice word. Like, no one wants to be called a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. And that's who you and I are every single time. We expect God's grace, but give other people God's judgment. And think about it, that people are really, really good at finding out who's a hypocrite. If you have a little brother or sister who's young, 1, 2, 3 years old, they know exactly what they want. And if someone says, hey, you're going to get something, you can watch a movie, you can get ice cream, and then for some reason they don't get it, they know that really, really well. Even the youngest child knows what a hypocrite is. If you claim to be a believer, God demands that you judge fairly because no one wants to listen to you if they know you're a hypocrite. In the same way that you don't like being lectured by a hypocrite, no one wants to hear the gospel message from someone they know isn't living it. God wants you and me to share the gospel with everyone around us, but we have to address the sins in our own lives, that's the logs, before we can help look at other people and notice the specks in their own eye. You have to judge yourself before you can judge others. I know that that's something that we don't want to do. We love to judge others. But if you actually want to be helpful to other people, you have to make sure that you're thinking about and you're working on the sin in your life before you focus on talking to other people. What does that look like? Well, tell the truth, even if it's hard, even if it gets you in trouble. Be honest. You should obey your parents. You should obey your teachers. You should love your siblings. You should confess your sins to God when you know you've done something wrong, and then you should go apologize to others. Say, Lord, I know that you say I should do this, and I've done the opposite, and I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And then go to your brother, your sister, your parents, any one of your classmates, your teacher, and say, I'm sorry. You told me to do this, and I did this, and that's wrong. I was thinking of myself. I apologize. I'm not going to do that again. Go and confess to other people. And that's not something that should, let's be honest. It is something that's scary. Like, no one likes confessing. No one likes apologizing. But you doing that shows people that you love them and you're just not thinking about yourself. So therefore, if you have to say something of, hey, I notice I see this, or you shouldn't be doing this, they know that you're not a hypocrite. You know that they know that you're actually thinking about what's best for them. You're just not trying to critique everything in their life. We said that doing this allows us to help others. Once we've removed the log from our own eyes, we can see the specks in our brother's eye and help him. While judging rightly is an important part of relationships, because remember, Jesus is just talking about relationships here. It's not the only thing that Jesus talks about. He also wants us to learn how to ask for help. Our second point in verses 7 through 11 is that God helps everyone who asks him for help. In verses 7 through 11, we have God helps everyone who asks him for help. We discussed in the Lord's Prayer that God loves us so much that he is caring for us even before we ask for help. Have you guys thought about that at all this last week? God isn't waiting for you to come and ask him the perfect question or say, God, I need help exactly with this. He loves you so much that if you're his child, he's already helping you before you ask for help. And now Jesus wants his disciples to understand that so much that he's going to give them a picture of that in these next couple verses. In verse 11, Jesus says who he's talking to. In verse 11, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Jesus is speaking to people that he knows are selfish sinners. He's not talking to perfect people. He's not talking to people that have everything figured out. He knows that he's talking to selfish sinners, but he knows that even those selfish people still help the people that they love. In verses 9 and 10, we see what those people do. If their children came to them hungry, they wouldn't give them a stone or a snake. They would give them bread and fish. And the point Jesus is making is if wicked people want to help people that they love, how much more does our perfect Father want to help us, and how much is he already helping us? What do you need help with? What do you need help with? Well, you need help being saved. You can't save yourself. You need God for that. You need help obeying your parents. You need help loving your siblings. You need help with upcoming tests, games, music recitals. You need help with hard situations where there's people in your life that you know are sinning. You need help with everything going on in your life. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to take that straight to Him. He wants you to ask Jesus for help. If you look in verse 7, Jesus says that three different times. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. He's saying the same thing three times over. He's repeating it because it's that important. There are a lot of things that you can ask and look for, and you won't get. There are a lot of doors that you can knock on all day long, and they just won't open. But that's not what Jesus promises for you. If you go to Him and you ask Him for help, He will give it to you. He promises to give us everything we need to live for Him up until the very moment that He takes us home to be with Him. There is nothing you need that He won't give if you ask. What should we do? It's really simple. Go ask Him for it, and He will give it to you. Go ask Him for help, and He will help you. Do you want, though, to admit that you need Jesus' help? Does asking for help bring you comfort, or does it make you angry? If you're here today and you're wanting to do everything by your own strength, if you want to be the biggest guy, if you want to be the strongest, if you want to be the smartest girl, if you want to be anything by your own strength, asking Jesus for help is just going to make you angry because it's going to show you every single time how much you need help. But if you love Jesus, if you want to be His child, and knowing Him and living for Him is the best thing in your life, then asking Him for help is going to bring you comfort because you know someone, you know you have someone who's going to help you every single time, and He's going to comfort you, and He's never going to leave you alone. As I was writing my sermon, and as I was reviewing it last night, I just thought of all the things that's happened in my life this week. There's been a lot of stuff. I was focused on writing this sermon on Tuesday. I start seminary classes up again, and so I'm taking 5 classes. I've already read 5 books this summer for my seminary classes, and I have another 2,000 pages of reading to do this semester on top of all the writing, all the classes, all the lectures. I've been working with Will just to help plan out winter camp, summer camp, and other things that we're going to be doing for junior high. And we've been planning out all the fun nights that we're going to have the rest of this year. I have a friend that's in the hospital, and so we spent time just being there with him and his family. That because I know I'm about to go back to school, I spent time cleaning up stuff around the house. I've been talking to my insurance company. I've been talking and working with my phone plan. There have been so many things that have had to happen this week. And the honest thing is, I haven't been able to do all of them. If I rely on my own strength, there's not a single day, there's not a single week that goes by that I can do everything on my to-do list. I just can't do it. I've had to remind myself multiple times this week that it's okay if I don't finish everything on my list. I just need to go to God and ask Him for help. I know that He will help me do everything He wants me to do this week. I can say that to you guys. And you guys might think, oh, Pastor Adam has everything figured out in life. I'm still having to learn that. I have to go and ask God for help every single time. Last week, I was talking to Pastor Nathan Busnitz, and he said something that was really helpful for me. Make sure you prioritize relationships over tasks. Make sure that you prioritize relationships over tasks. Jesus doesn't want me to write a sermon. He doesn't want me just to make a plan for winter camp. He wants me to have a relationship with Him, with my family, with the staff, and with you guys. He wants me to live life with my Bible open. He wants me to go through life continually asking Him for help. And I know deep in my heart that He will help me every single time I ask for help. God wants me to live in light of that for everyone to see, and that's exactly what He wants you to do. And if you're wondering, what does that look like? That's our third point of our sermon today. What does living for God look like? It's that God wants us to treat others as we want to be treated. You've probably heard of this as the golden rule. I remember being in kindergarten and the teacher telling me, treat others as you want to be treated. Everyone has heard this before. But this verse is the essence of having right relationships with God and those around us. We want God to treat us fairly. We want God to love us. We want people in our lives to treat us fairly, and we want people in our lives to love us. So what do we need to do? We need to do that to God and those around us. What we want people to do to us and for us, we should be doing that to everyone in our life. That's what Jesus has been explaining through the Sermon on the Mount. If you're his child, you're going to love God and the people in your life. I'm going to say that again. If you love God, you're going to love the people in your life. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to keep pointing in the right direction. Doing that is the greatest sign that you're his child. And not doing that repeatedly is the greatest sign that you're not his child. If you just look over this past week, have I continually loved people? If the answer is no, you should pray about that. But if your answer is no week after week, month after month, year after year, you're probably not a believer. And if your answer week after week is, gosh, I've gone to Jesus and I've prayed every single time and I've tried so hard and I've made mistakes and I've confessed and I've tried to do better, I want you guys to be happy. I want you to know that's the biggest sign that you can have that you love Jesus and Jesus is in your heart and you're going to spend eternity with him. As we're looking at verse 12, I just want you to notice the end of the verse. This is the law and prophets. That's kind of weird that treat others as you want to be treated. That is the law and the prophets. That just kind of sounds weird. But that is Jesus' way of saying, if you do this, you're obeying the entire Bible. Can you imagine that? This is our entire Bible. And if you obey one verse, Matthew 7, verse 12, you're obeying your entire Bible. At the time of Jesus speaking in the book of Matthew, there was only the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. And the Old Testament alone has 930 chapters and over 23,000 verses. And Jesus says, I'm summarizing 23,000 verses for you in one verse. Treat others as you want to be treated. If we will simply treat others as we want to be treated, Jesus says that we're obeying the entire Bible. If you will treat others how you want to be treated, you are fulfilling all of God's commands. It's that simple. Love people how you want to be loved. Even though it's so simple, you can't do it on your own. And that is the gospel. It's that God requires perfection. And that Adam in the garden sinned. And because of that, every single one of us sins. And because of our sin, we cannot be with God. And so God sent his perfect son, Jesus, to live a perfect life and die on the cross. And that if we look to him and say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need help. He gives us his perfection and he takes all his sin and he pays for it on the cross. And that alone allows us to love others as we want to be loved, to treat others as we want to be treated. Only God's child cares about something like that. No one else in the world is going to. Only a believer, only a child of God can see their own sin to remove the speck in their own eye instead of caring, to remove the log in their own eye instead of caring about the speck in other people's eyes. Only God's child can go and ask God for help, can confess their sins to God, can apologize to others, can have right relationships. Only God's child can treat other people how they want to be treated. No one else can do it. Only a believer can. If you have questions today about Jesus or what salvation is or anything that we've talked about here, feel free to ask one of the adults, to ask one of the staff here. Feel free to come up and ask me afterwards that Jesus is the best part of our lives, and that's why we love being here in junior high, because we get to have fun with you guys and we just get to talk about Jesus. We want you guys to have the fun that we get to have every single day. If you have questions about that, just come up and ask one of us after the service. If I've talked with you in the past or you have questions about baptism, can you also just come find me afterwards? I'd love to talk with you and just see what the Lord's plan is. Let's close in prayer, and I think we'll be good. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you give. Thank you that we can be here at church and have fun. Thank you that we can play games, sing music, listen to your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to see judging rightly. I pray that you would give us the desire to know, to judge our hearts before we judge other people. I pray that you would give us hearts that want to run to you and ask for help. I pray that you would give us hearts that want to treat people fairly, knowing that you love us, you treat us fairly. Father, let us do that for other people. Thank you so much. I pray that you would keep us safe this week. In your name, amen.